Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Emmanuel Taylor, OP, parochial vicar and associate director of the Catholic community. It is the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
To report back, last week we had an opportunity to connect people interested in working in technology with our Dominican order. We had visiting from Rome the promoter for technology. It's kind of like a chief technology officer, more like for Dominicans, chief technology suggester, suggesting what we should do and trying to animate us. But meeting people here, he was so inspired. But so were people in our community and sharing what people are working on, their interests. People expressed even a surprise that the church would care about technology. Kind of thought about it a little bit. Well, the church always promotes anything that, first of all, you can share the good message, the good news. 1500s, of course, supported a lot of art. But anything, last week we said technology, that can help human beings flourish. The church very much wants to help people for the good, the common good. And also stand against anything that goes against that human flourishing, that diminishes human dignity. But to make the church bear on the world, and especially in technology, for instance, it requires the need for you, for people who are experts in their own fields. To be experts in your field, make decisions in your field. But then at the same time, to be an expert in the church. And what do we mean by that? To following the Lord, to know how the Lord works in your life, to be able to follow him, that's to become a disciple. And then to see with Jesus' eyes. You know, we sang that responsorial psalm, "Let me see with you. You give your word to the world." And we want to see the world like Jesus, with his eyes. But that's kind of difficult. And I even suggest working in technology is difficult to see how God is moving in there. How do you do that? That's the reflections that we'd like to share. So coming together last week and how we can have discussions, the Dominican Order and people in technology, what will happen? Not quite sure, but I know I want to be grounded myself in faith in Jesus and trust connecting with people in that faith and trusting their expertise and start collaborating together. I know good things can happen when that happens. How do I know? Well, I've learned how to see even technology and to see making good Christian decisions by learning from others. I've learned to learn from my elders, even from my own parents, by looking at the examples they had, by hearing the stories and learning from those stories how I can do it myself. And it takes time to develop that habit. So I'd like to share today a story. It's also another Silicon Valley story. A young person that came to Silicon Valley, but it's not in this current bubble. But someone, Silicon Valley, back in the day, there was only a few silicon plants where they actually make the silicon wafers. Few people working in their garages around. Steve Jobs wasn't even around yet. But Silicon Valley still had an optimism. There's something new happening here. And he came from the heartland of California and saw this and wanted to come and even apply to university here. Well, he was a first generation. And so we have to forgive him. He applied to Cal Berkeley. He had no guidance, you know. He was first gen, applied, went to Berkeley. But actually, he wanted to go into bioengineering. I didn't do the research yet. I don't know if just Cal had that, or did Stanford even have that at the time? But he studied bioengineering, not even knowing where this field is going to go, brand new field. But he felt something that he wanted to be working in a hospital, but use the technical expertise. And so went to Berkeley. Now, he came from, you could say, Catholic family, but no one practiced. They all came from different European countries to get away from the church and didn't practice here. no one practiced. But at Berkeley, they were standing up for things. They were standing up for civil rights, protesting the war. And he said, you have to have something deeper to root. He noticed people could protest the war and become violent themselves. And so learning, he saw Catholics always at those demonstrations and learned to be interested in the Catholic faith, let's say. He was interested. Then on his professor's door, saw an opportunity for graduate school in bioengineering at a Catholic university. He said, what difference would that make if I study bioengineering at a Catholic university? And just by that curiosity, went to a Catholic university for graduate school. And there at graduate school, as he continued studying, decided to make his faith increase. The same way master's level research, do master's level, he was coming from Berkeley, so master's level meditation. Did a lot of Eastern meditation. And there was an older grad student that taught him. You know, at the center of all the meditation, the center of the Tai Chi, the center of all that, Christ is still at the center. You should focus on him at the center. Keep that as the center. You need to learn who God is. You need to learn who God the Father is, how God cares for everyone. So he was learning to put that at the center. And just in time, too, because when 68 hit, everything became violent. All that optimism they had left. He said even on retreats, even priests began losing their faith. They were pulled away because of the violence. And so many students happened as well. Not only did that happen because of the assassinations that year, but also in the church. Now, at that time, all the college students, they were following what was happening in the church. Any document came out, they all read it ahead of time. That year in 68, a letter, Humanae Vitae, came out. And they were kind of optimistic that the church would accept contraception and accept the new technologies. And people were very put off that the church said no. The church said no to contraception. So many people left. It was a turbulent time. Even he decided with all this, and it was mostly about the war, and he dropped out of school, not knowing what to do. Dropped out of school, but decided he's still going to work in a Catholic hospital. And so just kind of see what's happening in the Catholic hospital, and got married soon after that. Soon after that, child was born. Soon after that, another child was born. They weren't using contraception, so the kids just kept coming. And so religious sisters in that hospital told them, you know, you should learn about natural family planning. And they said, well, I don't think that works too well. The rhythm method doesn't really work that well. And the sisters taught him, no, this is a modern method. There's many different modern methods developing that are very reliable, scientifically proven. They use knowledge of the occurring cyclic phases of fertility and infertility. Look at the scientific basis of it. The sisters challenged him. Since he was a bioengineer, it was actually made a lot of sense, seemed pretty easy. Not necessarily easy to use, took a lot of work. But by that work, they realized, him and his wife, they realized they started communicating more and more. They were able to space when they had their third child, put that off for a couple years until they got established. And they start getting more and more natural family planning, start teaching that to other couples, and eventually other couples in the Catholic Church. Eventually, he went back to get his PhD in bioengineering and show the basis for natural family planning. After that, went into academic career and got tenure and getting through all that work. And eventually was established and actually used natural family planning not to avoid pregnancy, but to have a child. Just seeing when they're fertile, and you can really understand that. Then as their children grew, they started growing in faith too, and even the family started kind of going back and forth about faith. It inspired him to even think what he was doing and realize all his life had been a vocation from God. one particular mission, and he had seen, even in small ways at Berkeley, when he didn't know the Lord, didn't know faith, wasn't Catholic, but he had this small seed of faith, and he could see it unfold in his life. So by that faith, he decided to go back and apply to a Jesuit university, kind of a capstone in his career. This is what I've done in my life, and became a dean of the engineering and established a bioengineering, once again, in a Catholic university. Just recently had to retire because now of health reasons, but still had this idea. We need to make natural family planning now for the next generation. Science is developing so much. And so came back to Silicon Valley, share the idea with young biotech startup people that could manage this. An idea, how can we use natural family planning in our generation? That's a project we really need to think about. Oh, and his son is a Dominican friar, a chaplain at his rival school. Here at Stanford, obviously. The first time I told him I was coming to Stanford, it was silence on the phone. It was worse when I told him I wanted to be a priest. But now, when I share it, he's so excited about opportunities that we have as a church, opportunities we have at Stanford, just opportunities to make an impact in the world, an impact by our faith. Just one example of what it looks like when you let a small seed of faith grow. But this is our job to have that faith. Jesus said it could be like a mustard seed, but it'll grow into the largest bush. There are great potentials here. We have that faith. My dad taught me all those years of studying meditation at Berkeley and studying meditation in grad school. Nothing brings him to a higher meditation than receiving the Eucharist. You know, of course, I said, I didn't have that experience receiving the Eucharist. I think you actually have to do some preparation yourself. But we have such a gift. We make some steps to prepare ourselves. You can feel it in prayer. It takes a little bit of discipline to put ourselves there. But the Lord takes over, and it's so much bigger growth than we could ever do. So let us allow ourselves to grow. Work to that growth. But in the end, it's God who gives the growth. May you be rooted in Jesus. Be rooted in him so you're not pulled away by even opportunities of technology and everything in our society. Stay focused on Jesus and faithfully allow that faith to grow in your life, in your families, and in your career.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.